Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hello and welcome to Made by Mamas, the podcast. I'm Zoe.
And I'm Georgia.
And we're here talking all things parenthood. You know, the real conversations.
Tips and tricks.
Products we love.
And brands we can't live without.
Let's get into it.
We need to think of a good intro line, don't we, to these podcasts? We either laugh at each other or say hello.
The last time we did a sex and intimacy podcast, we started singing "Let's Talk About Sex, Baby."
Oh,
yeah,
I can't think of any other songs that have the word sex in it. So I'm really sorry about that. Do you get that where you just suddenly someone puts you on the spot and they could be like, "What's your name?" and you're like,
Georgia, do you know what I do for a living?
No, I know what you do for a living, but I mean in a weird circumstance. Like, I'm trying to think of when it's happened to me. Even in a quiz, it happens to me.
I mean, if somebody says to me, name a song with, you know, a tomato in it, then sometimes I get a bit freaked out. But generally, I have to perform on the spot like that.
See, if you say to me, name a song with sex in it, apart from that one, I'm like, I don't know. I won't be going on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire or The Chase or any of those.
Fair enough. People that are listening to this podcast now are going, they're screaming at the podcast going, I know a song with sex in it. Anyway, we should say welcome to Friday's episode of the podcast. We're actually recording ahead of time because Georgia is heading off to Abu Dhabi.
Yay!
Are you excited?
Yeah, no, I am really excited. It's just a lot, isn't it? I did a joint to-do list for me and James, and he actually thinks I've lost the plot, like genuinely. He's like,
why?
You are crazy. Why are you doing a to-do list for holiday? Why do you have to suck the fun out of everything?
Do you mean a to-do list before you get there?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I'm so glad that he's like, this should be fun. We don't need to make jobs for it, like before we go. And I'm like, yeah, God. But we need to make sure we have all the stuff like to get there. Anyway, it's just
I'm
funny,
sorry. This is classic somebody, and I'm not pointing fingers at, you know, the sexes here, but this is just classic somebody that doesn't maybe do the prep before the whole, the person in your relationship that doesn't necessarily do the prep
Is
always the one that's like, well, why are you making a list? It's like, well, how the fuck do you think we're going to get there with all the things that we need? Of course we need a list.
Do you know what? I was actually listening to Russell Kane on a podcast the other day, and I think he's done some research into it or something, but in every relationship, there's one person who makes the to-do list, who looks at TripAdvisor before you go for a holiday. And then there's one person who doesn't. And I was like, oh, yeah, cool. And you know what? I think our roles have reversed, because when we first met, James booked all the holidays, did all the research,
kind
of stuff. And then it's completely flipped on its head, and now that's me.
Yeah, but that's because you become the enabler. So once you start doing stuff for people, they then stop doing it.
Right. Who are you? Which one are you?
What do you think?
I don't know, actually.
I'm the enabler. I do everything.
Yeah, I was going to say, because I think, yeah, you are the one who'd organise all the lists and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we wouldn't get there. I mean, we would have maybe, you know, a couple of pairs of knickers, you know, a bikini. But I mean, like, what more do you need when you're on holiday? Fresh pants and a bikini. It's like, maybe I should listen to Dozer a bit more. But I genuinely feel we've just spent the last week. We had Kit and Dozer's birthday party on the Saturday. Then obviously Luna got terrible chicken pox, which I spoke about on last week's podcast, but I didn't know how bad it was going to be at that point. So I've basically been indoors for 3 days in a darkened room, just trying to soothe her fuck me, it was savage. And actually, it's been quite an interesting topic of conversation online about the vaccine or not. Are you always vaccinated?
No, they're not. But because it's not really a thing, well, it wasn't really a thing in this country. But I've got a friend actually who lives on the road, and she, her children grew up in Australia, and they had it done because everybody does that. And she mentioned it to me. She said, oh, have they not had the chickenpox vaccine?
Yeah.
I was like, no. And now, because obviously how Luna's reacted, I think, oh, maybe I should do it for Gigi. We have to pay for it, don't we?
It's 140 quid. You can go to Boots and get it done. I feel like now I've come out the other side of it, and now I've got endless lists just coming out of my ears of things that I haven't done any work for 4 days. Nothing.
So thank you,
George. I want to take this moment to say thank you for running the business, because I have been an absolute disaster scene, haven't I?
I'm going to turn my phone off on holiday. I'm joking.
You know I won't. That's the thing. I have good intentions of doing that, and it doesn't happen.
No, I want you to, and I think everybody listening will agree that Georgia needs to turn her phone off and go and have some good family time. But what you'll be getting from me will be a lot of crying online and then frantically laughing, because that's how I cope with my life. Now, today we're going to be talking about sex, intimacy, relationships, you know, date night suggestions, how you guys are feeling. Thank you so much for sending in all of your questions. We love these Friday Q&As, and I've got a feeling this one's going to be a really good one. I think probably start us off by saying, like, how are you and James? How's your relationship? How's it all going?
Yeah. Quite a good question. I'm trying to think when we last did one of these. I think we were actually in a quite a good place the last time we did one of these. And I'd say we've been through another big shift, because obviously James's time, like, what sort of work life has dramatically changed. Mm. And I'm somebody who really needs space. And so for him, you know, him being out of the house all the time and then going and training two nights a week has been great. So we've had that. But now... the football season's over and he's back again. So Tuesday, Thursday nights and Saturdays, and he's driving me fully mad. And we've got back into like the bickering again. And I'm like, oh God, we just need to live in separate houses and we'd be fine.
You know who did that? And they did it really well for 20 years was Tim Burton and what's her name?
Oh, yes.
Helena Bonham Carter.
Yeah. Yes, they did. And did they have like a little bridge or something that joined the houses?
So they bought two houses next to each other and they had an adjoining door, but he resided in one house and she lived in the other one. And then they used to have all their meals together, you know, breakfast, lunch, dinner, whatever it was. But then at night they'd say, night, and they'd go into their separate houses and go to bed. And they did make it work for 20 years. So perhaps that's something you could think about. Go knock on your neighbour's door and see how much they want
Do you know what it is? I think we've sort of got into this rut of where I've been doing everything because he's not really been here. And then now he is here, he almost doesn't know what to do. Like he's forgotten. And so then it frustrates me that he's not doing enough. But then equally, he's like, I can't read your mind. So just sort of tell me what you need me to do. And then in terms of like sex and intimacy, I'm so furious with him.
Oh, geez.
When I get into bed, I think, fuck off. You stay right over there.
Yeah.
And also as well, because I'm the someone who needs my space. God, I don't know if anyone else... Well, I'm hoping someone else listening to this will relate, because my friends relate to this. I'm sorry, Judgy James, if you're listening, you won't be. But sometimes I quickly get dressed like it, you know, when he's not there, because I think, fuck, I don't want him to see me naked because he's going to pounce on me. I can't have it. I really can't. I hate him today. Don't come near me.
Really? That's interesting.
Yeah, because I don't want to be touched. I just need to be left alone. Like, just leave me alone.
And I guess, is that more about you wanting to take a step back and having a little bit of space for you
space. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think lots, especially parents can relate. I don't have any gaps in my day. So I wake up and I'm looking up, you know, I'm getting the kids to school and I'm doing all that. And then I come straight home and I'm into work mode. And then the kids come home. I usually leave the house and I'll go and work for a bit. And then I come back and I'm cooking dinner and then I'm getting them to bed. So there are no like, I think
gaps
I used
the
to, yeah, mm. there are literally no gaps in the day at all. for downtime to like unwind and sort of just
yeah, because you used to commute into London and used to have your train rides to do that, or you might pop out and go and grab a, like a salad box or whatever it was for lunch. You used to have those moments where you could have a little bit for you, but when you work from home,
You don't have it.
And we hear this a lot actually from from lots of people saying that now that obviously they're working from home a lot more. Home is work, work is home. You know, you step downstairs, you've got to go into parenting mode, and then suddenly what you're supposed to just click into, hey, bounce chicka, wow, wow, I'm in sexy mode now.
Like, as soon as the kids go to bed, it's like, okay, I want to have a shower. Please don't come in. Like, don't try and come in the shower because I just need to be on my own.
But does he want to, like, would you say that he, because I think maybe, again, people listening might think, well, my partner doesn't want to have sex with me. So there might be the other side of this coin where people are thinking, God, I wish they would come in the shower and try
Absolutely.
And make a move on me.
And I guess I'm on the other side of that. So I'm the partner that's sort of stepping away from it. And he's very much still, I say less so though than he used to be, because he's got, you know, a busier life, a busier job now. He's probably way more tired than he used to be. So there's not such an imbalance anymore.
No.
But there definitely is an imbalance. What about you?
Do you guys talk about it?
Yeah, of course.
Do you discuss it? I mean, is it something that comes up? Because lots of people struggle having conversations around sex with their partner. So they can talk about anything. They can talk about, you know, issues with their mates or shopping lists or booking this or going there. But actually when it comes to sex, that's the conversation that they find the hardest. And once that communication is broken down within the partnership, that's when the problems start, because you start thinking that someone's thinking something else. You know, you're almost imagining what their narrative is before you've actually clarified what it is for real.
Yeah, I think I've definitely been guilty of not talking to him about it and not communicating with how I'm feeling. But now I am so much better. I can say, listen, I just really need like a bit of time to myself. And he does get that. He calls it only child syndrome.
Love him. I love him so much.
So yeah, we do communicate, but it's still difficult when
you've got
one person who, you know, who's
got a higher libido than you.
A higher libido, and then one person that hasn't. And the balance might be shifting slightly, but I guess it's always going to be there. It's always going to be that.
Yeah. And we often talk about this, don't we? Because we're kind of similar our end that, you know, Doza's sex drive is particularly high. I mean, I don't know, you know, we've all had a past, but in terms of somebody that's got a sex drive, his would definitely be the highest I've ever seen. So for me, somebody that, you know, is quite sexual, even that imbalance is out. Because I find sometimes I think, oh gosh, you know, he's going to want to have sex, you know, 3 or 4 times a week. And I think that's quite a lot when you're this tired and you're running such a big life. Mm. But I will say something, that if I didn't have somebody that was kind of pesting me, I probably would do it less. And I think potentially our relationship would suffer from that. So actually, he's sort of relentless with it. Like, it doesn't matter how many times I knock him back, he's like, no, I'm still going to come for you. And in a way, he's kind of right, because when you do have intimacy, I'm not talking necessarily about physical sex, but when you do have that intimacy and you know, you're sort of playing in that area, it does bring you closer together as a couple, in my opinion. And actually sometimes it heals a lot of wounds. You know, you can be feeling quite angry with the person, but then, you know, you have a bit of intimacy and a bit of closeness, and it does make you feel more connected. So yeah, and I we definitely go through waves of it, you know, it depending on what's going on hormonally or how tired we are. But I think the thought of sex sometimes is like, oh, good Lord. Like, I cannot go through that this evening. I'm so tired. All I want to do is put my fucking comfortables on, have a chat and just like almost hug myself from the day.
Yes, I completely agree with you. Yeah. Sometimes also like just getting dirty again. I think, oh, I just can't.
Do you mean getting dirty?
Actually getting gross. I can't cope with that.
I love the way you call it getting gross. I quite enjoy that moment, but yeah.
No, if I've just washed my hair and I'm all nice and clean, I think, oh no.
This is gonna be amazing. Well, we're not the only one, so we're gonna crack on with your questions. I'm gonna start
Let's
at the bottom.
It.
Struggling to make the effort as I'm drained after a day of work, kids and chores. I we can completely relate to that, as we've just sort of spoken about there. I think at the end of the day, I always think it's the worst time to try and have sex with your partner at the end of the day, because like you said, you've done, you know, maybe work, school drop-offs, pickups, you've cooked dinners, you've cleaned. It's like, you just want to be left alone. You don't want anybody else wanting anything else from you.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
just leave me alone. So I think that's really hard. But then when do you do it? Because you might have a toddler in your bed, or you might get woken up through the night. So carving out those moments, and let's be honest, those days of lying in bed and having sex for like 2-3 hours at a time whilst you like read the paper and order food and all that kind of shit, they are gone. You know, the quickie, I think I'm the master of the quickie, because I think sometimes we just got to go for it, and then it's done, and then it's fun, and it's like they get a bit of a thrill and you're like, okay, well, it hasn't taken me half an hour, it's only taken me like four and a half minutes. No, but I'm right.
You are right. a bit of a release that doesn't take too long.
But yeah. also potentially switching your mindset, which is what I do sometimes, and think like, you deserve to have some attention. Forget about, like, try and change it from thinking I don't want anybody else to kind of come near me and I need some time for me. Make that the time for you, and talk to your partner about what you need in those moments, because actually those moments of, oh God, I don't want to go through this, I can't make any more effort, can actually turn into ecstasy for you.
Yeah.
So if you can communicate that with your partner and say, look, I am feeling tired, but I do want to do this, and can we try this, and can, you know, then suddenly you're in Pleasureville.
Yeah. I'm really tired. I don't want to move. Can you just crack on? So here's the next one. The newborn bubble struggle is real. Sleep deprived and get quite envious when times are tough that my husband's life hasn't really changed as he goes back to work. I'm juggling a toddler and a newborn and I feel too pooped to make any effort with him, but feel super guilty and crave adult conversation. Such a mix of emotions.
Oh, gosh. Right. Ugh.
Do you know what? This whole thing with, you know, one person in the relationship's life not really changing, or like you kind of see it as not really changing. I do think about this a lot, because I've got a good friend who had an amazing career, and as soon as she became a mum, it stopped for quite a few different reasons, but basically logistically she can't work anymore. Mm-hmm. And I talk to her all the time. She said, oh, you know, his life hasn't changed. Mm-hmm. And I'm just here, and I'm like a completely I'm a shadow of my old self. And yes, that's, you know, it can feel like that, of course, and it's really, really difficult. But then I also say to her, please understand like how he feels as well. Like, yes, you think his life hasn't changed, but maybe he would like to, you know, to be at home. And while he's at work, yep, he's actually thinking, he's feeling guilty. Like, he maybe wants, yep, to be at home with the kids, or, you know, he wants to support you more. And I think you have to have this conversation so that you, yep, understand each other and realize like the grass isn't always greener. You know, like you're thinking, yeah, of his life being amazing, swanning around work and maybe going for coffees or whatever he gets to do. But actually, in those moments, he might be thinking, God, I'd much rather be at home. I'm not seeing my kids as much, and I'm not doing this. So I do think it's really easy to think, oh, that person's life hasn't changed. But of course both your lives have changed. And I think you have to communicate like how you're both feeling, because like you said, you know, no one can read minds. And unless you actually break it down, then you'll understand how you're both feeling. So I completely understand that.
Yeah, I think as well, just jumping on, I think resentment, because I used to be so resentful of exactly this,
yeah,
thinking, you know what, I'm not working, I'm not doing a job that is fundamentally makes me who I am. You know, he's off out, you know, he's at, in inverted commas, client drinks, and I'm there with like sick in my hair and feeling like absolute garbage. And why are they not doing it? You know, resentment kills intimacy. It is the biggest intimacy killer. And the minute you can try and let go of that resentment, which, by the way, has taken me 7 years. And actually, the other day, me and Dozer had the most honest conversation that we've ever had, I think, in our marriage. And I had all these hang-ups about, on the surface, being quite cool about him kind of going out and doing his thing. And whatever time you come back, that's fine. But then when he would come back in, I'd be you know, really pissed off and there would be an argument. And I'd be like, I don't know why I'm doing this because I'm not a jealous person. You know, I don't have any issues around trust. So what is it? And fundamentally, it was about me thinking that he was choosing to be with other people over being with the family. And yeah. He just turned around to me and he was like, the minute you can start understanding that I'm not choosing somebody else or an environment over you, the better this marriage is going to be. And it was like a light switch. I suddenly thought, do you know what? Absolutely. Like, you're entitled to do your own thing outside of it. And me, I need to stop feeling such a martyr and start saying to him, right, Thursday night, you need to be back at 6 because I'm going out. And yeah. I've done, and this Saturday night, I'm going out with the girls. I'm staying in a hotel in London. And I'm actually, I said to him the other day, I was like, just so you know, I'm going out with the girls on Saturday night. You need to look after the 3 kids and I'll be back on Sunday after work. And I was like, it was like, bang. It really did feel like quite an empowering moment for me because I never do it. I'm either working or parenting. And I think going back to, you know, to what this person's saying, such a mix of emotions, but actually we need to be able to say to them, you're doing X, Y, and Z. So I'm going to do X, Y, and Z. Take the power back and make a decision for you and take it. Because the minute they think that they can just carry on their life as normal and they don't have to have any of that responsibility, the more angry we're going to get.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And the thing is, the whole thing is communication. Like, unless you say these things.
Yeah.
Rather than just sitting there letting it build up. I'm so guilty of doing that sometimes.
Yeah.
And then you probably will get the intimacy back and you'll get, you know, having those lovely conversations back and all of, you know, all of that. So... Yeah.
And carving out those little moments, like once you have got the kids in bed and saying, you know what, we're just going to order some food in, or we're going to cook together and we're going to have a glass of wine and we're going to put our phones down. Let's make a thing of it and actually make it almost like a bit of a date night at home together. So you do get that adult conversation that can lead to more intimacy as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We'll be right back after this short break.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Welcome back to this episode of Made by Mamas. Now, where were we?
Next one. I love my husband and want to be more intimate with him, but I have absolutely zero sex drive.
Oh, gosh.
Do you relate to that?
Yes, I do relate to this sometimes. I sometimes feel like I feel like saying to him, I really, really love you. But can I just show you in a different way, please, today?
I thought you were going to say something else then, but can I just show you these and then we'll just go to sleep, yeah?
Yeah, that would be great. But I think it's difficult, isn't it? Because I think sometimes you've got to look at the reason for having no sex drive. I've been thinking about this recently. And I know, you know, sometimes if you're on the pill, that can affect your sex drive. If you're really stressed, that can affect your sex drive.
Tiredness.
So it's almost like looking at the cause. I know for me, it's feeling overwhelmed. If I feel like I've got too much on and like, you know, too many things going around in my head that I need to do, everything else just, you know, goes. It's like I almost like shut down. So my mind can't switch off. So I know for me, if I want to sort of get my sex drive back, I need to just relax and like just see things how they are and sort of like let go a bit. So I think you need to think about that, like the reasons why. Think about times when you might have had more sex drive, less sex drive, whatever it is, and try and work that out. Also, sometimes I think not like you have to force yourself, but it is a little bit like pulling off a plaster.
Yep, sometimes it is.
Sometimes, because I would never, you know, give advice to say, oh, you should do something you don't want to do, because that, no, obviously not. But sometimes with sex, I think the more you do it, the more you want it.
Oh my God, I was just about to say that. Yeah. Sex brings sex.
Yeah, it does. And so sometimes you kind of just have to think, right, I don't really feel in the mood, but we are going to do this. We are going to do this tonight or today or whatever it is. And sometimes it's just that it kind of breaks... But sort of breaks the ice again.
Gets you over the first hurdle, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's such a weird, thing to even say out loud, because sex is the most natural thing that you can do. But when you've got all of these other boxes that are like piling up on top of you, it is at the bottom of the pile. You know, you're like underneath your whole essence, your whole sexual essence, just gets squashed down by children and life. And suddenly, you don't even, I mean, when was the last time you had an orgasm? Like, everybody listening, have a think about that. Do you even know how to have an orgasm anymore? Like, what are you doing to keep that side of you alive? Like, sometimes, you know, I don't think I had an orgasm for maybe 2 or 3 years when the kids were little. Obviously, we were having sex, but I wasn't even putting any focus on it because I didn't even know what that felt like. And sometimes now, you know, if Doz is out and the kids are here, like, I will just tap into my own sexual self alone. Doesn't take me very long now, and like, even just climaxing and being in that moment where I'm having an orgasm by myself, it makes me feel more sexy, and it makes me realize that that is something that is totally pleasurable and something that we all require and desire and we should want, because we deserve it. So I think that's also a good idea. Like, I do think, like, sex toys and things like that, and actual kind of you know, sort of going down that route is actually a really good way of tapping into what you need and what you potentially, how to get there. Because I can't have an orgasm through sex.
No, I can't either.
I need all the add-ons.
There's actually a book, and I'll post it on Instagram that someone gave me.
Go
on. I need to find it. But it is basically about that. It's about learning what you want first.
Yes.
And like having a sexual relationship with yourself first. And then you start to enjoy sex.
Totally.
I'll post it on Instagram.
Oh, that's great. Okay, good. I'm glad we had that question there, because it's quite a big topic, but I think we all need to learn how to talk about it more.
Yeah,
there's nothing to be ashamed of, and we shouldn't hide it. It's very natural, and it's a really important part of being human.
How to get the spark back post baby, 4 months postpartum, so tired and only ever talk about baby.
Yeah, 4 months postpartum. I mean, firstly, give yourself a massive break. 4 months postpartum, you've just come out of the fourth trimester. Like, it's just, you know, you really are in the thick of it and in the mix of it. So, like, well done for birthing an amazing baby, and well done for being super mum. I think you obviously sound like you're ready too. So, sort of everything that we've been speaking about so far in the podcast, you know, how are you feeling physically? What do you want? Have you been communicating that with your partner and telling them, you know, where you're at mentally, physically, how your body feels, and just opening up that conversation, I think. Because remember, sex is supposed to be sexy, and it doesn't just have to be bang, 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 bang. It's not that. It's all of the lead up to it. It's that beautiful dance beforehand. And the first side of that is talking about it.
Yeah. And I was also going to say about sort of getting the spark back at 4 months. I think it can be really easy to kind of fall into that rut of just talking about the baby and all of that, and that's fine. It's so natural. Like, it's so natural to do that and to be completely consumed by it. You've literally brought a life into the world, and you're doing something you've never done before, so obviously you're going to talk about it a lot. But I do think it's a good time to start remembering what you enjoyed doing before. So even if that is, you know, giving the baby to a relative or a babysitter for a couple of hours, so that you can go out and you can almost say, right, let's go out and just do something for us for a couple of hours. Because it's those little moments that make you feel like you again. It doesn't have to be anything fancy. It can be a walk around the park with a coffee, but it's just having that little separation that make you feel like the adults you were again.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I totally agree with that.
Yeah.
And then there's like things that you can do for you. Like, I always feel so much better and so much more sparky when I've done a fake tan. That sounds absolutely ridiculous.
A blow dry solves everything. A cup of tea and a blow dry for me, like, can cure, I don't know.
I go through the checklist. I go, like, nails, Nails. Yeah. Have I washed my hair? Have I done my moustache? Have I done a tan? Have I shaved? You know, have I had a wax? All of those things. And then I'm like, okay.
Actually, do you know what? Having a Hollywood wax,
ooh,
I do think can make, I don't know, it may, obviously makes everything more sensitive. But I don't know. Whenever I've had a Hollywood wax, I do feel a little bit more like, ooh.
Ooh. She's yeah. ready, ladies and gents. Mm.
There we go. Watch out, James, if I have a Hollywood wax.
He's hinted to wanting to become more intimate again. And we do. But to be honest, I don't always feel it. Do you know what? And she sort of asked, how can I boost myself back up again? Which I guess we've kind of covered, but in terms of like the little things that you can do. But also, I always find, because I often think with Doz, oh, you know, he wants to have sex every day. So if he could have sex every day, he still would want more. He's like a puppy that's like desperate for it. And I'm like, it's a lot. And I have to, you know, at the beginning of our relationship, I was obviously having to say to him, look, you know, I like sex just as, you know, as the next guy, but it's not going to be every day. And
every
he used
day
to get,
is a lot, yeah.
Get quite upset by that. Now, 7 or 8 years in, he understands that we are at different points. And I think, again, that sort of clarity on sex drives and knowing that, you know, one person might want it more, but if you turn around to them and say, look, I just don't fancy it tonight, they're not going to be devastatedly like hurt. Because
yes,
we feel that imbalance, don't we? And you're like, oh God. And then you think, the more somebody wants to have sex with you, the less I want to have sex with them. Don't know yeah. about you, but if I know that someone, if I know that he, oh, if he yes. wants it, I'm like, oh God, can you just let me try? And yeah. actually, if they took a step back and let us come on to them,
I know,
we might want to do it a bit more.
Yeah, exactly. It's that whole thing of like, oh no, I know exactly what you're thinking. I know what you, oh, I no. know what you're going to do. I know. Just leave me alone. Not right this second, but maybe in 10 minutes, it would have been okay. How to keep romantic when trying for a baby?
Yeah, so how to keep the romance going when you're just yeah. actively trying for a baby? Oh, God. Yeah, because the baby trying sex is the worst, isn't it?
Well, I haven't actually been through that because both times they sort of happened, I guess, I don't know, it's all organic and natural, isn't it? But I don't know, it just kind of happened. So I haven't been through it, but I can imagine if you're peeing on sticks and you know, needing to have sex when you're ovulating, it's probably having sex when you're not ovulating as well.
Yeah.
So almost like separating the two.
So a friend of mine went through this because they were trying for a baby for about 3 years and for really long, awful story, but they got there in the end, thank God. But during that period, she would say that they took it out the bedroom. So every time they had to have sex, they would just try and have sex all over the house in different rooms. And she was like, that was
that's
the
so
only
funny.
Isn't it funny?
Yeah,
but also
good.
I quite like that idea because I feel, you know, in the bathroom, wherever your laundry room, wherever you can, just mix it up a bit. Because if you're constantly yeah. trying to do the baby making sex in the bedroom, I mean, there's nothing less sexier than having sex in a bedroom anyway. For me, I'm like, yeah. oh God, here we go. What we've got undressed, we're going to get in and get under the covers. I'm like, I know exactly what's going to happen here. And it's not that thrilling. But the minute we kind of take it away from the norm, that's when things start to get more exciting again. So potentially yes. that could be an idea.
Yes.
Failing
Do you
that,
remember when we had Tamara Eccleston on the podcast? Do you remember? And she alluded to the fact that because her daughter shared their bedroom and we said, where do you have sex? And she said, there are, I don't know, 50 other rooms in the house. How to get through the seven-year itch?
Seven-year itch. Oh, I'm in the seven-year itch.
That's why I said it like yeah. that, because I thought, oh, you're... And I've actually been married, I've nearly been married 8 years. So we're kind of coming through the seven-year itch now.
Look, I don't really like to buy into those faddy kind of, oh, you know, the 5-year, whatever it is, or the 7-year, whatever it is. It's just relationships are hard and they are a daily grind in many respects. You know, they can be the most amazing things in the world, but they can also be really, really tricky. And this is even outside of sex and intimacy. You know, you want your partner to be growing with you and to be going on a journey with you, but actually getting them there and sort of navigating all the highs and lows, chucking in kids, financial stress, moves, you know, kids starting school, all of that stuff. Like, it is a hot pot for really tricky moments. And I don't know. The one thing I will say is that, and sometimes I look at this, I sort of imagine like a pie chart in my head. And I sort of think, where do I place my relationship in that pie chart? So, you know, you've got kids in the mix and everything else I've just mentioned. Like, how big a piece of that pie chart is the relationship in your life. For me, it's really big because if that relationship doesn't work, none of the other pieces of the pie chart fit together. And yeah. I think what happens is we forget about it and we start focusing on all the other things, and it can happen without us really even consciously realizing. And if we really focus on it, that relationship and being intimate with that person, it has to be the most important thing. Yes, of course, our children, but even when they're sleeping on a floor with chicken pox, you know, we had a quickie this morning, very, very quietly, didn't even speak to each other. And in my head, I was thinking, is this really transactional? Yeah, it is. But it also brought us loads closer because we hadn't had sex for 5 days and we really needed it.
Yeah. And you sort of shared that sort of, I guess, little secret.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, the 7-year itch, I agree with Zoe. I think it's an outdated sort of phrase. But
yeah.
I don't actually know where it comes from, but do you think it comes from the fact that people maybe change in 7 years? So like every 7 years, like your skin does. Yeah.
Every seven years?
I think so. Yeah. Every 7 years, maybe you have like a slight shift. Because right. I've known James since I was 17 and I'll be 33, probably when this podcast comes out, actually. So that's a long period of time. And I think throughout our relationship, we've been through cycles. And I definitely say from 17 to 23, I was probably very different to I am now. So I think it comes from that thing of like overcoming those changes.
Yeah.
So whether that happens at 5 years or 2 years or 3 years, it's more to do with overcoming certain parts in your relationship, and some people will fall apart at that stage and some people will push through. And I think some people do grow apart, they really do, but it's about, I guess, learning to love the new the new person and growing together.
Oh my god, the growing is the most important thing in a relationship, is wanting to grow together.
Yeah,
if you want to do that and you're invested in each other, warts and all, that, you know, and I know I keep banging on about it, but the minute you stop talking to each other, like how the hell are you supposed to know what the other person's thinking? Because I said, you're just writing your own narrative. You've got to communicate, and you know, you've got to remember who you were before your children. You've got to remember why you fell in love with that person, and you've got to make special time for them, and they've got to make special time for you.
Do you think we should finish there? I think that was a really nice way to finish.
Oh, I could talk about this all day.
I know, me too. It's funny as well, because I have such different sort of, not views on different days, but some days I'll be like, oh, we've got such a great relationship and we've been talking loads and blah, blah, blah. And then another week I'll be like, I actually hate
That's him. Life, George.
It is, isn't
That's
it?
That's life and relationships.
We actually had an argument the other day and I did scream in his face and said, I actually hate your guts. And I felt so bad about it since. So James, if you're listening, I am genuinely really sorry about that.
Yeah, but come near her when she's in the shower.
It was bang out of order.
Don't chop your penis off.
Don't come near me when I'm in the shower.
Listen, we're going to move on to products. And we decided this week that we would kind of share our products that make us feel good. So all of the things that we're kind of using at home around kind of sex and intimacy. And yeah, we'll share them now. I'm going to kick things off. Now, anybody that suffers from dryness, like I do, I have been obviously into early menopause, so dryness is like a big thing. I've started using, it's called Nessa, and it is vagina victory oil, and it's basically collagen boosting for your vagina. So if you do suffer from any sort of dryness, or like, you know, sometimes when you're having sex and it just feels a bit like, this doesn't feel particularly nice, so it's like another alternative, I guess, to lube, but it's just, you can use it just at the sort of entrance of the vagina just to kind of work things up and then get your normal lube out. But yeah, it's literally sitting on my bedside table, so I'm all for it.
I mean, this is so funny. So you used to get sex post all the time, didn't you? But I've actually been sent a whole load of condoms and lube from a brand called Hanks. Now,
H-A-N-X,
yes.
Sure, I know about
And those. I'm not on any contraception at the moment, so, which isn't great. I am going to sort it out. I am thinking, in fact, we should probably do maybe a Q&A on contraception
Defo.
And get somebody on, because I don't know what to do. So anyway, they've sent me some condoms and they're really good. They're great. I don't like condoms particularly, but these ones, I mean, you don't even really notice. I think they're the sensitive ones. Yeah, sensitive.
Okay.
So if you're like me, I don't think I've got a latex allergy, but I definitely don't find them very comfortable.
Right.
But these ones, I really, really wouldn't even notice that we're using it. No.
Okay,
so if we're being
great.
Sensible, that is what we all use.
And of course, anybody that's using condoms or not using condoms, you're going to need a good lube. It's called Yes WB, Yes Water Based. It's just won the 2022 Glamour Powerlist Wellness Winner Award. And it's basically water-based lubricant. You get it on Amazon. It's called Yes. It will make you shout yes, yes, yes as well. It's amazing lube. Like, as you can imagine, I've used a few in my time. And I'm now settled on, and you know, we basically don't have sex without this. So
yeah. And actually, yeah. When I went for my mummy MOT after having Gigi, that's the lube she gave me.
Oh,
as
brilliant!
Well. It's obviously recommended by those that professional people that know about that kind of
thing. Professionals.
The professionals. And that book I was talking about is actually called Sex Yourself: The Woman's Guide to Mastering Masturbation and Achieving Powerful Orgasms.
Oh, brilliant.
I know. And so someone gave it to me and said, you need to read this and then you'll probably enjoy sex again. So I haven't. Oh. I've sort of listened to it, but yeah, maybe it's worth exploring, I think, to the lady that asked that question.
And then I'm just going to end up, because I just bought myself, and actually I'm not a huge I love Victoria's Secret as a brand, but I just bought myself a really, really sexy kind of like, I was going to say onesie. It's like you've got visions of me coming out in a onesie that your kid wears. It's not that. It's like a lingerie piece, but it's like a one piece basically. And it's a little thong and it's electric blue. It's absolutely stunning, all lace. And I actually wore it the other night and I felt really empowered to wear it. And it made me feel really, really sexy. And we kept it on. And I'm like, oh, I feel like a single girl again. So, you know, but with the love
actually,
of my life.
That's such a good point. We haven't mentioned lingerie. And it does, do you know what? It really does make a difference. It definitely makes a difference to me. If I put nice matching underwear on in the morning, I feel completely different to if I put like the dog chewed, like stained, disgusting, like nude pants. I have actually genuinely got some knickers in my drawer. I saw them the other day and they have been chewed by our dog.
Oh,
why have I kept
Lord.
Them? So anyone else listening who has some like that, throw them away, because that's what I've just done.
Get rid of them. Thank you so much for sending in all your questions. We really hope these Q&As are useful. This is a subject that we're really passionate about, and obviously, look, we don't have the magic answer, but please do keep sending us, you know, DMs, or if you just want to reach out. It can be a bit of a lonely world out there, but you guys are doing an amazing job and we love you lots. So thank you. Hopefully it wasn't too cringy and awkward. I love Georgia when she's talking about sex.
I can't believe it. 4 years ago, I felt like I couldn't do this. Maybe it's because we're not in a studio anymore, so it doesn't feel so daunting. I'm just sitting.
What, you have to
bedroom.
Look me in the eyes?
Yeah, maybe. I want to do it with my eyes closed. But yes, thank you so much. And if you have got any suggestions for topics you'd like us to cover, then please do drop us a DM. We're on @MadeByMamas on Instagram, and we'll be back on Tuesday.
Made by Mamas is an Insanity podcast production, and today's episode was produced by the lovely Charlotte Mason.
Insanity Group.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.